Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is anyone coaching for their job in the college football playoff? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Starts tomorrow, Pearl. It's Indiana traveling to South Bend to take on Notre Dame. Short trip.
Yeah.
Indiana matchup. But I think everyone in this matchup is safe, considering Kurt Cignetti from Indiana and Marcus Freeman both just got major contract extensions. So these guys are safe. However, not everyone can say that.
What if one of the other jobs opened up and someone tries to poach Kurt Cignetti? That's the safe from the coach's standpoint, maybe not from the school's standpoint, although they did just extend him. I always wonder, by the way, when an extension happens in college football, like another coach, like Rhett Lashley just got, does that mean it's like finite? Like, does that mean that somebody can't come in and steal him immediately? Because college football extensions don't mean what they used to.
Well, this is why buyouts were created, yeah. Right? Yeah. If you really want my coach, you're going to have to pay.
All right, so go through the other coaches. Let's see who, let's go through. Is anyone else in trouble?
I'm just going to say who I think's in trouble.
Yeah.
I think it's Ryan Day.
Yes.
And this is not me, like, reinventing the wheel. I don't think this is a hot take. I think that there is, it does not matter what the regular season record is for Ryan Day. He is being judged on a completely different scale. And this year, it feels like it's even bigger because he had the most expensive roster in college football. And it was a down year for Michigan coming off of the national championship. And what happened? The most expensive roster in football has been disappointing. And secondly, they lost to Michigan. It's just unfathomable. So the fact that Ohio State gets a home game where they're welcoming in Tennessee, this is not an easy one. They got a really hard draw here. Winner plays Oregon. Congrats. You get a rematch with the team that you lost down to the wire. I just see Ryan Day as one of those guys where you'll look at his gaudy win-loss record and think people are idiots for trying to get rid of him, but this is a unique fan base with a unique set of standards.
I would have said that last year I would have said they were idiots. I think I did say this. I'm like, why are people trying to get rid of Ryan Day? He gives you a chance to win a national title. That all disappeared in the last Michigan game. I mean, to lose at home like that and the way they played too, they were just so non-aggressive. Like, I don't know. And the other thing too is, like, he didn't even say afterwards, like, he didn't really take any as much blame as I think he should have. Like, they blew it. That was a classic blow. It almost doesn't matter what they do in this tournament. I think Ohio State fans are over the sky, unless they somehow win the whole thing, which is, by the way, very possible in this wide open 12-team field. Yeah, I think the last loss to Michigan was really the moment.
And they are a 7.5-point favorite against Tennessee. So they're as big of a favorite as Tennessee as Notre Dame is against Indiana. And I find that a little bit interesting. But anyway, Ohio State, who Are they blowing anyone out? They're not blowing out a good team. Because, again, Indiana, they played really well against Indiana. That final score, I think, didn't actually show how the game went. But, I've got my questions about Indiana and how good are they really. And maybe they'll prove me 100% dead wrong.
Would you be shocked, by the way, if they went on a run and won the whole thing, too? Would nobody be surprised?
But I mean, they would
surprised.
Really have to be putting it together. Like, we'd have to see a team that's just played at a much higher level than they have. No?
They play the same game that they played at Oregon. They could beat that team on a neutral field. That game was a coin flip at the end. And that was in Oregon. So, no, I mean, the Michigan game was so bad that it's harder to judge off of that. They just have not run the ball well. Something happened where all of a sudden they have these two possible NFL running backs in Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, and they can't get a yard on first down. And they won't open up the offense to throw to Jeremiah Smith and all those other great receivers, Mecca Buka, Carnell Tate. Those guys are all top 15 picks in the NFL. It's strange. Like, it feels like Ryan Day got nervous and is coaching nervous. I wonder if he says, you know what, I lost to Michigan, screw it, let's just go out of there and have fun. That would be the best thing for them.
Well, if he was here and in the room and he had a little truth serum, or maybe not even a little, I think he would tell you, my offensive line was totally banged up.
Yeah,
I lost guys
true.
All over the
that's
place. True. I was starting a new center, you know, which is a very, obviously, it's very important because the center quarterback exchanges. I think he would have an excuse for you on that. I just think that it's kind of one of those things where you thought maybe he might even want to actually leave himself. Now, he has said that's 100% false. He would never voluntarily want to leave this job and step away just because he's getting so much heat from the fan base.
Well, okay, back to the injuries for 1 second. That's absolutely right. And that was obviously huge deal. But who doesn't run the football in college football? Like, name a major program that doesn't average 6 yards a run in football. It's just insane that this Ohio State team. I always think of the 2014 Ohio State team that won the first Final Four. Remember, nobody thought they were any good all year long. They had to get hot at the end of the year and blow out Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game to even make it. And then they just rolled over everybody. I feel like that's the kind of talent they have in Columbus right now. And for some reason, like, whatever that, maybe that was Urban Meyer. I don't know. But it just doesn't seem like that offense is anywhere to be seen.
855-212-4227. We're asking if any of the coaches in the college football playoff are actually coaching for their jobs, which is ironic because you've made it to the final 12, yet there are issues, especially when you have expectations as high as Ohio State. Now, as far as Penn State is concerned, James Franklin would likely be another coach you might put in this category. They get a home game against SMU. EJ's reading the weather reports like he's Sam Champion. Looks like snow could be in the horizon. So they would have an advantage, not just with the home field, but maybe also with the weather. Now, James Franklin's buyout. Let's talk money. $56.6 million. That's a lot. Jimbo Fisher's buyout was $76 million. And I know Texas A&M and Penn State might have not exactly the same exact donor base, but I don't know how much oil money is at Penn State. But still, we've seen crazy buyouts before. And if James Franklin loses to SMU, Perloff, I think that's going to be a moment, a fork in the road for the university and what they do with Franklin. And I'm not 100% convinced they wouldn't say goodbye.
I think, first of all, I think he'd be fine because I'm not sure they have better options. They're not Ohio State. It's not like they're not a national title or bust program right now. And the fact that they made the playoff is an accomplishment.
They were a top five team all year long, basically.
When's the last time they were like real? When's the last time they won a national title? I mean, it's been a long, 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 long time.
So you could flip that and say, well, what are we paying James Franklin for? Obviously, he's not the guy. I mean,
well, who are you going to bring in? Like, I'm not sure you're going to bring in a better coach. You're certainly not bringing in a better recruiter than James Franklin. I think that Penn State would be way too afraid of life after him.
Penn State's a 9-point favorite at home.
Yeah,
I mean, in college football, that's not a ton, but it's obviously, it's not unhealthy.
But he's guaranteed them a perennial top 20 team at Penn State. Ohio State's different. Ohio State, you have to beat Michigan and you have to compete for the title. Penn State, I'm not sure you have to do that every year.
I disagree. Maybe not every year, but I think when you look at the powerhouses of the Big Ten, now you have Oregon, so that's a little bit different. We thought maybe USC would be a little bit better this year. At least I did. But I think that Penn State fancies itself right in that conversation with Ohio State and Michigan.
Really? This is the first time they've been top three in the AP since 2005, and they haven't been number one in the AP since 1997. Like, if they do, then the results aren't showing it.
Well, but how often are they top six, top five?
Not that often.
The issue with Penn State is that they always lose to Ohio State and Michigan, yeah. So that's why they're never in the top five. They always end up losing to another top five team. That's been the thing with James Franklin. That's been the thing with James Franklin, and it feels like it's been going back also to Joe Pa.
After the scandal, they were not going to be Ohio State. It was going to be hard to build them into a national champion.
Well, yeah,
I think
right.
Bill O'Brien and James Franklin have actually done a good job.
Yeah, well, yes, from where they were in 2011 compared to now being, Big Ten runner-ups. Yeah, it's been quite a shift. But, regardless, the Penn Staters figured themselves, like you said, Maggie, to be in that conversation with Ohio State and Michigan and to play for a national title. But year, after James Franklin continues to show that he can't beat those teams, it has gotten to the point where it feels like, let's just beat Ohio State and Michigan this season, and then we'll worry about the rest later.
So you guys don't believe.
I believe that they'll beat SMU, but after that,
nothing. I think there's Penn State, and maybe I'm wrong, because maybe Manny is part of the fan base, and maybe I'm wrong about this. I think the Penn State fan base is a little bit like the LSU fan base, which is, we should be there. We recruit. We're in an area where we recruit. Very different, obviously. Pennsylvania, the Midwest, but in the South, same. Louisiana, we have fertile recruiting ground. We are paying a head coach a top salary. We have a pedigree. We've got a history. Don't tell us that we shouldn't be playing for a national champion. I see a lot of similarities with LSU and Penn State fan bases.
I don't know. I feel like James Franklin does. The fact that he gets these quarterbacks to come from everywhere to Penn State, the fact that he almost got Justin Fields, the number one recruit in his class, to basically sign on and then left at the last second, he's pretty good at this. To get Drew Aller, who was the number one recruit.
Penn State's not one of the blue blood programs.
Yeah,
came on the scene. This is not nowhere you.
I know they actually, Justin Fields left, but the fact that he was in the Atlanta suburbs and that he got him up to State College, Pennsylvania, and beat out Alabama and Georgia, James Franklin, I think, is a very good recruiter. And the fact that he got Drew Aller, too, is he was the number one guy. I'm not sure every Penn State coach could do that.
Christian Hackenberg went there, and that was, Bill O'Brien, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I think, actually, Hackenberg might have been recruited by the previous staff, too.
Yeah, some of the paternal staff.
But, honestly, you've been to State College. How does that compete with Georgia and Alabama? It's not like they've had those kind of stars.
Well, State College is awesome.
It's kind of
a Midwestern. They're not going to... I don't think that a new coach is going to get there and just overwhelm you with talent out of Penn State. I find that unlikely. They haven't been a national champion in forever. They're not Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia.
I think you're right, but I think, Pearl, I think that speaks to what some may say is delusion from amongst the Penn State fan base. My mom's a Penn State alum as well. Yeah, yep. I think they're beaten down. I feel the way Pat Boyle was talking about Notre Dame is how I hear a lot of Penn Staters talking
Pat's
to Manny.
Not a believer.
Right. Talking to Manny, talking to my mom, it's the same thing. We should be on the level of Ohio State, but we know when a big game comes, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
And to me, they'd be
and
better
that
off
reflects
winning,
back on James Franklin.
They'd be better off winning 9 games a year and not really being that competitive than doing what they're doing, which is win 10, 11 games every year and feel like you're right on the precipice. And then lose to the best teams and give yourself no chance to win a national title. I think that there's a real, that's a lot of money, Maggie, but I do feel like there's going to, the groundswell is going to happen if they blow a home whiteout game in a playoff game against SMU. That's going to be, I will not envy being James Franklin if that happens. That's going to be rough.
Look what happened when they lost to Ohio State. He had a guy basically heckling him in your own stadium, on his way out.
Looking like he was in Gangs of New York. I still can't get over that costume he was wearing. But yeah, he was like a teenager too.
The buyout, $56.6 million. So we're asking if any of the coaches in the college football playoff are on the hot seat.
Terry Pegula.
The only two would be Ryan Day and James Franklin, which is, two places where the fan base has, big expectations. And not that the fan base doesn't have expectations at Oregon or at, Georgia, but Dan Lanning and Kirby Smart are beyond sure footing.
Yeah. New coach comes in. Does he have the advantages? And you guys obviously know what Penn State, that Oregon, Ohio State, maybe not Alabama and Georgia, because I guess they are Texas. Like, is Penn State going to be able to build a, like an NIL-funded program like that and be a national champion? Like, maybe, but it doesn't feel like it's like everything is set up for a surefire champion. I feel like a lot of people be like, well, James Franklin gives us 11 wins every year. That's not nothing.
855-212-4227. Okay, you can weigh in on this. We also had a conversation, college football-wise, about Travis Hunter. Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, giving Travis some advice. Don't go to a team that's going to draft you but only let you play offense or defense. You want to go to a team that's going to let you play both sides of the ball or special teams, all three phases, guys. I think that's a silly idea.
So you want to put him at cornerback?
I want to put him at corner.
Corner, and, not receiver. Okay.
And maybe a play here or there on offense, but not playing the full load of snaps like he does at Colorado.
That's such a waste for fans. I mean, listen, like, but there's some elite cornerbacks right now. Like, Trent McDuffie is unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Guess what? You never see him. You never hear anything from him. There's no highlights because nobody throws at him. So what good is that for us fans? What a waste of Travis Hunter.
Well, if he actually does get drafted by the New England Patriots, then you've got Christian Gonzalez on one side and you've got Travis Hunter on the other side.
And
now you've got the building blocks, and you've got Drake May already.
And who are you? You're going to lose 16-13 every game for eternity because your offense is awful.
The last position on the football field that I am worried about filling is wide receiver. Wide receiver, there are so many good to great ones that are coming out of college now. You know it, 7-on-7, yeah. How we do youth football now. So many great receivers. Like, that's fine. And I want him healthy, and I'm afraid if I play him and give him this massive workload, he's going to wear down. It's a 17-game season now. It's too long.
So your plan is to go hit the famed double shutdown corner technique in New England, which has actually probably never happened because eventually you're going to have to pay them both. That makes no sense. And meanwhile, you have like, I don't even know who's their top receiver this year.
Well, they can reload that. I'm not worried about that.
They specifically cannot.
Well,
because
Bill Belichick's
not
there anymore. So now they can get some good receivers.
Draft a Jamar Chase. Like, do that. Get me a Brian Thomas Jr. Do not give me another shutdown corner. I honestly, like, you got to play him. And I think Carolina even worse than New England. Like, Carolina should play him at quarterback, cornerback, wide receiver, punt return. He should do the punting. Like, Travis Hunter should play every position on the field and maybe call the plays in Carolina.
855-212-4227. Can we put that up on the poll question, EJ, about Travis Hunter? Also, James Franklin, Ryan Day, are they coaching for their jobs in this college football playoff? Hit us up.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. In the NFL, the great thing is you can turn around a franchise really quickly. Like, all of a sudden, the Detroit Lions are good. The Houston Texans went from the worst team in the league to a playoff team almost instantly. Unless you're in Las Vegas and you're the Raiders, it doesn't feel like they can turn it around quickly, slowly, any which way. I think I know why, but Maggie, do you have a sort of path out of this morass for the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you gotta sort of bottom out. I mean, how did the Houston Texans turn this around, right? The way they did it, they got the second overall pick and they hit on quarterback, and now things are looking differently. They hit on head coach. Hitting on quarterback and head coach is the surefire way to get things going in the right direction. Everyone knows that. This has been the not-so-secret formula in the NFL for so, so long. Add a little offensive and defensive lines, and now you're really cooking. So this is why I actually believe that the Raiders are not far away. Now, listen, the division's tough. I get that. Circumstances are not set up for them because you got the Chiefs and you got the Broncos and you've got the Chargers. However, if they get Shedeur Sanders or if they get Cam Ward, and if either of those quarterbacks are good, when was the last time? Basically, you got to go back to Derek Carr last time, and he was a second-round pick. He wasn't a top-two pick. Where you could really start over with an elite talent, and they've got to get this head coaching thing right. And I don't think Antonio Pierce is going to be here next season. And I don't know if Tom Telesco should be there next season. I don't know if you change
Tom
out
Telesco
the GM.
Just got there.
I know, but do you change out the GM and do you change out the head coach? Because you're in an unprecedented moment. And by the way, there's somebody who's in the building now who knows a thing or two about winning, and that's Tom Brady. And the early reports are that as a minority owner, Tom Brady is going to be involved in the draft process. That is the only prayer. That's the hope here for Vegas. you've got to hope that Tom Brady has a vision or is good at eyeing talent or at least is understanding of who should be the head coach and what a team needs in a head coach. And if they say it's Pierce, okay, then Pierce. But I don't think Antonio Pierce has really done a great job. But to be fair, he's had no quarterback. Mm-hmm. This is a team that was destined to fail this year.
That's all that everything you said is really cute. But let's face it, since they lost Super Bowl to the Bucks, since Barrett Robbins disappeared, they've been to two playoff games in 23 years. There's got to be a bigger reason than just any of these individual changes you make. I mean, it's clearly ownership. And I think if Mark Davis is at the helm, it's just hard to get excited about this team.
Okay, but what is he like? This is what I need to know, right? The overall vibe is what you're talking about. People think he's kind of a joke, or do you think he's actually getting the haircut? And he's actually getting involved in NFL decisions. Like, I'm reading a story right now that just got posted by The Athletic that Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, actually kiboshed a trade that was far down the line between the Broncos and the Jets for Jerry Jeudy because he looked up Jerry Jeudy's Madden rating, the video game, and said, no, thank you. That's an owner that's getting involved. What way do you think Mark Davis is sabotaging his own team?
Well, let's look at some of his hires. He hired Mike Mayock, who is great on TV, but just made the worst picks. And there's no way to say, I like Mike a lot, but these picks were terrible. He kind of ignored character and made a bust after bust after bust. He hired John Gruden. He hired Tom Telesco off a very dicey tenure with the Chargers. He made Antonio Pierce the head coach. Like, honestly, like, why all of a sudden do you think like he's going to make the right hires at GM? Because he's had a history of making the wrong ones.
He's got to hand over the reins to Brady.
So Brady is your white knight. You know he's got another job. He's a Fox broadcaster. Remember that?
Yeah, well, worry about that. The Super Bowl is going to be the last we hear of Brady in the booth.
Well, there's two things. One, we don't know that Tom Brady is going to have this hand in the team. And two, we don't know if Tom Brady's any good at this. Listen, the odds are probably not.
Well, you just outlined how bad Mark Davis is. So it's time to switch it up here.
So you're just like, this is a typical AFC East fan. Like, well, Brady will come in and fix it all. Like, that's just because he beat your Bills all the time. He was a great quarterback. I don't know if he can all of a sudden run this team. And honestly, I don't think he's going to have that role. I don't think he's going to hire the GM. I don't think he's going to he might pick the quarterback at one or two. I don't think he's going to pick the offensive guard in the fifth round.
Listen, I don't know if he's going to either, but you have to. You need everything with the Raiders. You need culture. You need talent. You need a whole makeover. And yeah, I don't know if Tom Brady is going to be the next Derek Jeter. Jeter thought he'd go to the Marlins and all of a sudden they start winning World Series and that obviously did not work. But you know what? I know what's happening right now with the Raiders. What's happening right now is this is a team that's either middling, a team that's terrible, a team that's lost its direction. It's a shame because as one of the great fan bases throughout this country, you can go to any city in America and you will find Raider fans and they are diehard. You got to hope that Brady is your guy.
Oh, man. It feels like a Hail Mary to me that a minority owner is going to come in and just completely change the culture of a team.
Well, he's not just any minority owner, Pearl.
Well, I know, but
come
he's
on,
not.
This is
he's
not someone who made not their the money in finance and then all of a sudden is being asked to pick a new head coach. It's Brady.
I don't know. Have you come to understand the Raiders that Brady's running the show? Because that seems strange to me. Like, he's still a broadcaster.
Come on.
You think it's full-time job now, and it needs to be a full-time job, is how do I fix the Raiders? Like, is he gonna get to the office at 5 in the morning and start watching tape, then leave at midnight?
I think no. I think he's one and done as a broadcaster. I've said that even before. He has gotten better over the last couple weeks, but I think the Super Bowl is going to be the finale. I think he's going to say thank you, but no thank you. It's not like he needs the money. And I think he's going to dive into this. I do. I don't know if it's going to be the level that John Elway was with the Broncos, where he's literally running the show, but I think he's going to have a heavy hand. Yep.
I don't.
I don't think he can associate. He doesn't want to be associated with anything that's a loser. And if he can help in any way, right now, that's what Vegas is.
I mean, he's
a city built on losers.
Does he own part of the Aces
now a loser
too?
Franchise.
Does he own part of the Aces too?
Well, they don't need any help. They're good.
I don't know. This just feels, again, like a Hail Mary that Tom Brady's going to go and fix everything that's been going wrong for 22 years.
So you want to run it back with Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco?
No, I'm not saying that I have a better option. I honestly, I would maybe start rooting for another team.
Sorry, Stu.
Come on, Pearl.
Unlike you, Pearl, we don't just jump from bandwagon to bandwagon around
Mom
here.
Mom didn't have Marcus Allen's picture hanging up in her locker for you in 10th grade for you to tell her, hey, just pick a new team.
Honestly, isn't Stu Kovacs, who used to produce our show, he's a Raiders fan, right?
Big time.
Yes.
Yeah, he definitely wants to pick a new team. It's all he talks about. He was telling me he was scouting other teams. Like, and the fact that you're like, your answer to all this is Tom Brady, I would make me run to another team. Maybe the Chargers with Harbaugh. I don't know.
Yeah. This is the world, according to Perloff, is things are going badly. Just jump ship.
You don't
can't
think
do that.
Oh, you think Raiders fans haven't considered jumping ship?
Wait, you remember when we went to the draft in Kansas City?
Yeah.
How fun was that? When we were doing afternoons, we used to go to the draft every year. We actually went to one in Vegas, but the one in Kansas City was very memorable because we met a couple diehard Raider fans. They were part of the Black Hole. They were all dressed like awesome, crazy, the whole deal, the get-up, nicest people. You're telling me that guy, whose name is escaping me right now, because I didn't think we'd be talking about this, you're telling me that guy is all of a sudden going to wipe off the face paint, he's going to take away the spikes off of the shoulder pads, and he's going to put that stuff away, and he's going to start rooting for the Chargers?
Yeah, powder blue.
Wayne Mabry? Mabry? Yeah.
What a nice guy.
Do they, there is some form of the Black Hole in Vegas, right? But it's obviously not the same.
Listen, this team's moved around quite a bit, and the Black Hole has followed them to all these different places. LA, Oakland, they're there in Vegas.
I hear you. I just think that that's not ideal. Like this, like, how do you fix a football team? Well, you hire a guy as a minority owner of 3% or something and then have him come in and fix the culture. I just think that's a really hard task unless you're all in. Like, is Brady going to be the GM? Is he going to be the president? Is he going to be John Elway? If he's not, then I don't want to hear about him coming in and saying, oh, you should take Shador Sanders. Because I could go do that.
855-212-4227. Can Tom Brady help fix the Raiders? Yes,
so you have a huge problem with Doug Gottlieb trying to coach college basketball and doing a radio show in the afternoon, but you want Tom Brady, who has a million other jobs, to all of a sudden come in and do the draft for the Raiders.
Hold on. If Doug's listening, I don't have a huge problem with it.
No. The structure of being a coach and a radio host. Not like, not with Doug at all. We like Doug, but... Not
you're
getting
me in trouble with Doug Gottlieb. Doug Gottlieb's got enough beefs right now.
No, but I think...
He and Schefter have to go back and forth. I don't want...
He's definitely ducking no smoke. That's for sure.
I like Doug. I don't want to do that. I don't have a major problem with it. It just doesn't look like it's working, is what I would say.
Okay. Well, I thought, like many people said, the structure is challenging to be a radio host and a college basketball coach. That's hardly a hot take. Even Doug would acknowledge that, like, this is not the normal thing. Yeah, like, trust me, Doug would have no problem with anybody saying that. It's rarely done. I think Brady's even busier than Doug. I mean, like, that... The odds of him, like, okay, like, I'm doing a TED Talk in Abu Dhabi, but I'm going to fly over to San Jose State to look at their linebacker. Come on. This is not happening.
No, this is the beautiful part about Brady and how he can get involved with the Raiders and turn them around. This is what it is. Brady gets to pick his schedule. He doesn't have to be in Abu Dhabi doing a TED Talk. He chooses to do that stuff. And now we're comparing Brady to Doug Gottlieb. I don't know how we got there. But Doug's got a coach. The Phoenix against the Whitewaters or whoever, Michigan Tech.
Yeah.
He's got to be there Wednesday at 10 or whenever that game was. This is Brady gets to pick his own schedule. This is the best part about being famous and rich and retired. You can do what you want to do. And so if he chooses to spend his time with the Raiders, he doesn't need the paycheck from Fox. He doesn't need the paycheck from anybody, quite frankly. So, yeah, that's why I think this could work, because he'll decide where he wants. Like, to Brady now, time is his most valuable thing. He's got everything else in the world he could want.
I feel like he's gonna distance himself from this thing so fast when doesn't work. Like, he's a broadcaster. Like, he's like, we're giving him, like, the hope without the real responsibility of being, like, a savior for the Raiders, because he is part of the organization. They are saying he's going to be part of this quarterback decision. But, like, he's, like, Pearl said, he's not a general manager. He doesn't seem to have a real official title. Like, if this goes right, he's going to take all the credit. But as soon as the thing looks like it's not going to go well, he's going to be, hey, I'm just a 5% owner. I'm not doing anything. I'm just here just watching what's going on.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys. Do you think the broadcasting is going great?
Yeah, I think the paycheck's going great.
Dre loves the paycheck, but he's not. No. Okay. The answer's no.
It's going fine.
Yeah, but also he has improved like 3%. If he could get another 3%, then he'll be fine for the Super Bowl.
Okay, but I guess I'm just, yeah, the Super Bowl, I'm sure.
But I don't think he wants a perception of him quitting on that either.
No,
like,
I don't think anyone's going to think that. I think that he's looking for his next passion is how he would put it. And I think that I can't imagine that this is that appealing to him.
I think he doesn't want to look like he failed. So I would do a show bet that he's back next year as a broadcaster.
I will take that bet. Quickly, let's hit Dion's in Pennsylvania has a thought on the Raiders. What's up, Dion?
Hi. I've been a Raider fan since first grade. I live in Steeler country here. But one thing I know for sure that we would never jump ship. We've been suffering for, like you said, 23 years. But, I mean, Brady gives us a little bit of hope. But I don't think Ice Cube or Charles Woodson would jump ship either. So,
wait, but Dion, have you been tempted? Have you ever thought about it?
Oh, never. Never. You feel like we're just going to fight through everything. And that's kind of like the mentality. And the one fella you were talking about, the Raider fan, that's Violator with the spikes on the shoulder pad.
Thank you.
You got Violator, yes, and Gorilla Rilla. They're the ones you see all the time at the games. But I just went to the Tampa game I'm in Steeler country here. Believe me, I've been taking a beating for a while, But I went to Tampa to watch them play, and believe me, they stink,
Dion, you got to hope that Brady pays off.
Oh, yeah. So any little bit of glimmer of hope, we're holding on to it. Don't forget how Dan Campbell started out with the Detroit Lions, so... we just keep holding on to hope, but we're definitely never switching teams, and definitely not for a team in the AFC West. We all have nicknames for every single team, So I just wanted to say that. I was listening to it, and I said I had the call.
Thank you,
so,
Dion.
Never jumping ship.
Thank you, Dion. Tell him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to argue with Dion. He's clearly got the receipts here. He is a true Raiders fan. Now, you're right. I think the Chargers is where I lost people. Like, they're going to go from wearing spikes and all black to powder blue.
It's 2 May, December.
It's not even about the colors. It's the fact that they're in their own division.
I know. Perloff has no allegiance.
But the Raiders haven't been competitive in that said division in a long time. I don't even think they can. And also, they're no Chargers fans, so they need some additional fans. That's a wide-open bandwagon.
Listen, they made the playoffs a couple years ago. They were in, Cincinnati.
They beat the Chargers to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and remember when, what's his name?
Staley
called a timeout.
Yep.
And then Bisacci was like, all right, screw it. We're kicking the field goal.
Yeah. We could have tied.
F you, man.
We could have tied.
That's the mistake they made. That was the interim coach they should have hired.
Bisacci?
Like, they went with Pierce, but like when Bisacci was there, They definitely had something. The Pierce thing was maybe a little questionable. I was high on Pierce. That didn't seem to work out. Not hiring Bisacci was a mistake.
Had what?
They went to Josh McDaniels.
They had what? What? The possibility of going 10-7 and sneaking in the wild card and losing?
They would take that, Perloff. Exactly. That's not the irrelevance you're talking about right now, where they're so non-competitive that it doesn't matter. That game, we all remember it because it was Sunday Night Football. It was a shot to go to the playoffs. Like, that was relevant. Like, what we're talking about now, the irrelevance you're mentioning, is because they have zero chance. I agree with you on that, but maybe with Bisacci, they would have had that, even if it gets them to the next step.
They also, by the way, are trying to unbury themselves from the Mike Mayock era. That was
definitely
tough. They like didn't have like real first round picks for a while. That they could improve on that area.
By the way, I mean, you read a little bit about this, and apparently John Gruden was coming in at some points and big timing Mayock and taking guys that Mayock didn't want to take.
Yeah, probably.
And that's very easy to believe. Pat Boyle has some headlines for us on this fine Thursday.
Yeah, really quickly here. For simple, smart savings on your prescriptions, go to GoodRx.com or download the free GoodRx app.
I mean, don't wear women's perfume.
Thank you, Manny. If you were trying to fool yourself with a couple of bowl games over the last 2 days, don't worry. NFL back tonight. Chargers, Broncos, big battle. Broncos 9-5, sixth seed in the AFC standings. Chargers 8-6, trying to hold on to that final spot, while the Colts, Dolphins, and Bengals all hoping for a Broncos win. Sean Payton spoke yesterday. He expects to see a lot of Broncos fans at SoFi tonight.
The very first time I was ever at this stadium, I told you guys this already. I think it was Sunday Night Football. Broncos, Chargers went into overtime, if I'm not mistaken, and I couldn't get over two-thirds of the stadium. We're Denver fans, and so I know we'll travel well Thursday.
That's another thing. I mean, as Perloff is right, Chargers fans, it's like an open audition. Whoever wants to support the team.
Well, they screwed over San Diego, so those fans all left, and now it's L.A., which is an unusual fan base.
Can we please get a pro team besides the Padres back in San Diego? NBA yeah. or NFL, somebody, NHL, somebody figure it out. It's too awesome a city to not have another pro team besides the Padres there.
You know, EJ, I don't necessarily disagree. I did go to San Diego last summer there. I was, like, preparing to have my nips blown off.
Excuse me?
It was good.
What did you say?
My nips blown off. Yeah.
Is that a turn of phrase?
For me.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Really? You didn't go to the, what's it called, the gaslight?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was good, but...
But
I'm in San Diego right now, so they're going to throw rotten fruit at you.
I think we're only on until 9 a.m.
America.
I would kind of disagree with you, EJ. Like, it's so nice there. You almost don't need a pro team. Like, you don't want to be sitting inside on your couch watching the team when you should be out enjoying the beautiful weather.
No, but going outside to a football game or, you know, the NBA, a night out, maybe you chill at the beach and you go to an NBA game or a hockey game. You know how awesome that would be? Like,
first, we got to get NBA back in Seattle. Then we can work on that.
Well, you know where it's going first is actually Las Vegas.
I'm not trying to trash San Diego. I'm just saying it's a very nice city, but it's not like I went there and I was like, oh, my God, like I can't never leave here.
It sounds like you're trashing them.
Yeah, it does.
Well, if they want to take it that way, then...
This is also, this is what you didn't understand. You're in the summer and you're going to San Diego? You've got to go when it's winter here. Then you'll get off the plane and be like, I'm never leaving.
But that's water's on the loose. Let's go, Goose.
But that's more so just me not wanting to be cold. And like, yes, that's the temporary fix of going somewhere nice.
Yeah.
But there's other places that are warm. I go to the desert. I go to Scottsdale.
See, I also went to, when I went to San Diego, I also went from Vegas in August to San Diego in August. And that also helped.
That's what's in.
Because you go from Vegas, 110 degree weather, to 70 and sunny in August. You're like, man, I never want to leave here. So weather is a big part of it, but it's an awesome city.
They love this. I mean, if I'm in San Diego, I want fewer East Coasters who are coming, you know?
Just probably.
Leave us alone.
I don't like when I see people that are clearly not from New York City in New York City. Taking up my time, looking at their phones. Get out of the way and drive or walk so I can get to where I need to go.
Preach, Patrick.
Those are visitors, though. They don't live here.
And they're certainly not going to move here with that attitude.
Good. Good.
Yeah,
bring back bullying. People need to be bullied sometimes.
If you want to see some real New Yorkers, go down to Florida. they're all there.
There you go. That's a good point.
That's a good point.
Really quickly, I want to throw two things at you guys. One, a piece of news. Baseball hot stove. The biggest news of yesterday was a move that did not happen. Cardinals superstar third baseman Nolan Arenado reportedly used his no-trade clause and blocked a trade to the Astros. Now, Houston traded Kyle Tucker to the Cubs. Doesn't seem likely that they're going to retain Alex Bregman, so Platinum Glover, future Hall of Famer, Nolan Arenado would have been a great pivot, but he seemingly doesn't want to go there.
It's kind of odd.
Right? He wants to stay in St. Louis?
Or just didn't want to go to Houston, but that doesn't make a lot of sense considering how good the Astros have been.
Well, maybe he thinks they're going to stink now, that dynasty is ended. And
hallelujah.
Yeah, but like this is showing the investment in another great player. Keep the dynasty alive with Nolan Arenado.
Players love playing in St. Louis, too. That's a huge... I don't know if maybe he's like, hey, if I'm leaving, I'm not going someplace where maybe I have a shot to win again. Because he's replacing Bregman, I guess, in that scenario where he leaves. He's not as good as Bregman anymore, I don't think. So maybe he's like, hey, I'm not... We're on the decline if I go over there. St. Louis, no pressure. One of the best baseball cities. Let me just stay here until I get a better option.
Sick blue uniforms, too, in St. Louis.
Ooh, those are sick.
You know you know who needs a third baseman?
New York Yankees.
No, Phillies.
Philadelphia Phillies.
Who cares?
I did it with the Arenado trade stuff happened like 2 months ago. Like, the Phillies.
They make sense
just
there.
Blew up. Yeah. That they were desperately trying to get him, but I thought he was a little older. It doesn't feel like he's been around a long time. I just looked up his age, 33. I thought he was more like 37.
What was the second piece of news, Pat?
Yeah.
Oh, it was, by the way, is that like officially official that Bohm is not coming back?
Oh, I have no idea. No, I mean, certainly nobody wants him back.
Okay. And then the last thing was the NBA All-Star format that was revealed last night.
Yeah.
4-team, 3 games, 1-night tournament that'll feature 3 teams of 8 All-Stars each. And seems like everybody hates it, including, and this is one of the few times I agree with what Kevin Durant says. He hates it.
All-star game, formats changing. All the formats are terrible, in my opinion. And We should just go back to East West, right, and just play a game. I think we've been trying to, you know, bring that flair back somehow with the All-Star weekend, but I think we just keep it traditional. But we'll see how this one works. You never know. I might be wrong.
And I thank you, KD. I preach. I echo those sentiments. Ja Morant literally said same thing KD said when he was asked about it.
All right, well, play a little defense if they're going to play the East-West game, and maybe we wouldn't have to go to these tricky formats. Pat, thank you very much for that. Great job all morning long. We have tons more to do, including a pick for tonight's game, Chargers and Broncos. Don't move.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Sports of the Show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. You hear the music here on Maggie and Perloff's show. That means it's time for a Cowboy Quickie.
Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas saying, Stephen Jones, his son, no one ever said they were trading Micah Parsons.
He did not in any way say that Micah Parsons was at issue looking ahead at the future at all. He did not say that. And by the way, I didn't hear what he said, or I have not read what he said, but I know he didn't say that.
Okay.
What?
How does Jerry know that? He says because no one uttered a word about trading Micah Parsons.
That's never been uttered in this organization, that we don't have a future with Micah Parsons.
Okay. There we go.
Was that you, Manny?
Okay. Was, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was like, that would be a weird way to end that comment.
I want to be fair here to Stephen Jones. I want to get the exact thing he said. EJ, can you find that while Perloff and I discuss the merits of this? Which is, listen.
Well, he said, I have the quote here.
Okay, go ahead.
He said, okay, it's irresponsible every year if you don't look at the full body of work and the big picture and how those guys fit in. You're going to say, God, are we smart having this much money tied up in the top 5 to 10 players? Obviously, we're totally in on Dak and CD. But after that, then you still shape things, including Micah.
Right. So he left the door open to be kind of vague on this.
About the money, right?
Yeah, about the money. But here's the thing about the Cowboys. Again, it feels like the money always sneaks up and bites them. It's like, guys, you know that Dak's going to be expensive. You know CeeDee Lamb's going to be expensive. You know Micah Parsons is going to be expensive. And it always feels like it's like they go out to a big dinner and they order the surf and turf and then they're surprised when the bill comes and it's massive.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they probably paid CeeDee Lamb at market rate. I thought it was big at the time, but it was $34 million and the highest paid is Justin Jefferson at $35 million. So at the end of the day, I mean, I don't think there's any choice. I think they're going to pay Micah Parsons. It's going to be gigantic. You're right, they might do it too late, but I don't know if there's any bargain hunting here because he's got to be, I think he's one of the top five defensive players in the league and he's young. Like, there aren't guys like that. Nobody gets traded in that situation.
Right. But here's the thing. I actually don't mind Stephen Jones saying this. It might irk me a little as a Cowboy fan, but here's the thing. You have Micah Parsons, you had CeeDee Lamb, and you had Dak Prescott, and you haven't won jack. So now it becomes harder, not easier. It becomes harder to build your team the more you pay these guys. So to have everything on the table is actually smart. That's what a smart GM does. And well, if you get everything on the table, give me your best offer, you know?
I mean, to me, it's like, can you imagine the Niners saying we'll trade Nick Bosa, the Browns saying we'll trade Myles Garrett, or the Steelers saying we'll trade TJ Watt? It'd be insane.
That's your Cowboy quickie.
Like, we'll trade him for what? For a first-round pick that you pray could be half the player of Micah Parsons? Micah Parsons is like a human bullet. That guy, bring him to Philly if you're going to trade him because he is insanely good. He's a little small on the run game, but he is, when he comes at the quarterback, also he was hurt this year and they have won 12 games a year with him. You know, it's something a lot better than this year. So what are you going to do? Like, would you trade him? You would?
Can we get the nay? You're stepping on the nay.
We got it.
I want a full nay.
there you go.
Thank you. Listen, it's extreme. I get it. You're right. They've hit on Micah Parsons, and so obviously you want to pay him. But I don't fault the general manager for just being a little bit more vague about it, no? Because here's the thing. They're trying to also thread this needle of a contract negotiation. So I don't mind seeing what's out there. Give me your Godfather offer for Micah Parsons, because you know what? Maybe you need more than just three good to great players on your franchise. You need depth. It's something that killed the Cowboys this year.
Man, if Parsons is gone, they're just irrelevant. They're basically the Raiders. I mean, you could run back next year with Parsons, those two cornerbacks. If Overshawn ever comes back, then you got something. Otherwise, like,
but they haven't won anything with them.
At least they were 12-5. Like, they're, and also he's only been elite for 4 years.
But what happened in the playoff games? I mean, they got run all over, and Micah Parsons couldn't do anything about it.
Okay, let me ask you this: yeah. If you're looking at a win total for the Cowboys next year, if they traded Micah Parsons, would it go up or down? It'd go down by 2 to 3 games. I mean, like, honestly, it also signals, hey, we're in a full rebuild mode.
And that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and also, too, but he's, you know how old he is? He's 25.
He's super young. No, yeah. It's not the age part of it. It's just the, I don't think it's a bad thing if a GM's going to say, give me your Godfather offer.
I do believe, Jerry. I think nobody in that building has said, let's trade Micah Parsons, because that would be, that'd be bananas. I don't think that it's ever been uttered.
Well, maybe not, but he did say, you know, how smart is it to have all this money tied to just a few guys?
Yeah, I think, I don't know what Steven's talking about. I'm sure if someone said, Jerry, let's trade Micah, he'd be like, no, you're fired.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez. Thank you to Pat Boyle and to Andrew Kaplan and to Chris Jericho and to the Weedos.